everybody. Welcome to another episode of The Design Review. My name is Chris, and with me is Jonathan.
Hello, everyone. Another great week. Another great week for a podcast. but before we get into that, real quick, you can find us both on Twitter. We'd love to hear more feedback about the show and, you know, what you think about it and just general designs, chatter, chit-chat. So I'm Design UX UI. And Chris is machine human.
Yep. And one of the things that Jonathan and I have been talking about lately is how to improve the show and just ideas for future episodes and just generally where we want to take things. And we have our own ideas, but we'd love to hear your guys' feedback about it.
Yeah, because we really want to make the show a place where it's a necessity in some sorts, where people really get a lot of value out of the podcast, and so much so that it's something where people really kind of need to be able to pop in and listen to every week. So the way we can kind of get to that is by letting us know what you find useful in the current podcast and what you'd like to see out of future podcasts, because again, this is, like, I think we've said this all along, but this is really for you guys and a little bit for us too, to really just grow as designers. And so, yeah, that feedback is really, really valuable to us.
Yep. And we have a few different ways of sending us that feedback. We already mentioned Twitter, but you can also email us at fanimals@designreviewpodcast.com. And there's also a contact form on our website at designreviewpodcast.com.
That's right. So the format for this show, though, is we're going to first talk about the app, which this week is called Workflow, which is a new app that came out this last week. We're going to review the onboarding process, what were our preconceived notions about it first, and then the onboarding process itself. Then we're going to go into the overall user experience of the app, what we liked, what we didn't, how certain things functioned and things like that. And then we're going to talk a little bit more about the visuals and the animations and the just the general interface items. Then we'll finish up with our final thoughts and keep or delete.
Yep. So Workflow, it's actually featured on the App Store right now. It's like an editor's choice app on iTunes. Yeah.
I think we picked a good one. So the general idea of Workflow is that it's kind of like IFT, if you're familiar with that. IF this, then that. And it's really just kind of putting programming in the hands of the everyday person is, I would say, the easiest way to put that.
Yeah.
Connecting different parts of things like IFT is kind of connecting different parts of the internet. I don't know if that's the best way to describe it, but yeah. But really, yeah, really being able to kind of build blocks together, hook things that you wouldn't be able to hook together otherwise. And so the overall idea of Workflow is making that really, really easy to build and to launch. So we'll talk about that in a little bit.
Yeah.
So my preconceived notion of this wasn't really much. I looked through the screenshots and I kind of got that it was like similar to IFT, and that was about it. What about you?
Yeah, so actually a friend of mine at work suggested I take a look at this app. Thanks, Jay. And so he mentioned he saw it on Product Hunt and checked it out. And so then he sat down and showed it to me, and we went through kind of the initial onboarding bit, and then he showed me how the rest of the app works. And then, yeah, it looked a lot like IFTTT, although it had some important differences between it and IFTTT, which we'll obviously talk about. Mm-hmm. But I didn't really know anything about it beforehand, so... Yeah, he kind of spoiled it for me because we already just went right through it. So yeah, why don't we talk about onboarding? So what they did right away was what we talk about a lot on the show is they sort of walk you through how to create a recipe in the product, and they actually let you create it yourself, which I thought was good, but there were some negative things that I thought about it. Like, well, yes, it's good that you get to go in there and do all the stuff. I just thought it was a little confusing, and I don't know what you thought about it.
Yeah, I mean, something that we always talk about with onboarding is you need a clear story, like a story or a task, mm-hmm. to give to the user that's very clear. You're doing, you want to accomplish this because of this, and then here, let's start that, you know?
Yeah.
That makes a really big difference in understanding what you need to do next. I think they could have also started with that in the screenshots, like in the App Store. I didn't really understand what it was trying to do, because it's really just showing off some of the more interesting pages, but you don't really get the why, the value prop of it. Why do I need this app?
Yeah.
You totally miss that. And even on the onboarding process itself, which is sort of building like a GIF, something that takes three pictures and then builds it into a GIF.
Yeah.
There's no real reason. Like, it should really give you like a pretend story. Like, you know, for example, in the GIF example, you could say, oh, what if you wanted to create a little app that you could take three pictures and send your friend kind of like your reaction to something.
Yeah.
All right, how would we build that? You know, okay, first drag in the picture taking thing, and then everything else kind of makes sense because I'm, you know, putting myself in that person's shoes.
Yeah, that's a good idea. That was one of my big questions, was it asks you to drag the photo thing to the right, I think was the actual language. And it was kind of like, what, why drag it to the right? What does that mean? Like,
yeah. And one of the big things about the user experience that jumped out to me here that was really lacking was exactly that. Like, the dragging to the right, you're on a page and you're like, drag to the right where? Like, you almost think they forgot, they messed up and meant to say like swipe right or something, was my first reaction. So I think here, animation or even some of that bleeding edge type thing. So kind of the gestalt principle here is, if you see something going off screen, you know that it's going to be, it's obviously, there more exists outside that screen. So you kind of get a hint that there's another part to the page. So I think that this would have been a really good practice of that, is if the moving of the elements or choosing of the elements and moving them over, if in that screen there was a little bit of the previous screen to the right of it bleeding in. And I think that would help the user understand that you can kind of go between the two a little bit easier.
Yeah. Because the dragging to the right actually makes sense once you actually are familiar with the whole interface. But in this little onboarding experience, it's not using the actual UI of the product. It's like a separate little walkthrough.
Yeah.
So everything is just out of context, basically. But it's teaching you the, at least on the plus side, it's teaching you the interaction that you need to know in order to use the product. It should be a little clearer, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
And I don't know how I feel about, you know, just the overall experience of it is, when you're choosing like the first element, for example, I think it could be a lot smarter with what you get to pick. And I think something or something that you said to me and I really didn't even know was possible was, you know, the all list and things like that. I think the list they initially show you is based off of maybe the help one or something. I don't know why they don't show you all first.
Yeah.
But maybe being a little bit smarter about which ones people are popular ones to start with, you know, to like triggers or whatever, you know, and kind of creating some like naming conventions. And I don't know, like, it seemed like a very overwhelming to me.
Yeah. So let's explain that a little bit more. So when you're actually in the product and trying to create a new recipe for automating something on your phone, you can go into what is what they call the actions list. And the initial view of it is basically filtered into a particular set of grouping of stuff. So for example, it could be like calendar events or contact stuff, and there's all these different actions that you can use. But there's actually a full list, meaning everything that it is capable of doing, and they don't show that to you right in the beginning. And yeah, I agree, it would have been nicer to have seen that, because my first impression when I saw it was like, oh, it's actually fairly limited. It doesn't really give you that many options of what you can do.
Yeah.
And then I found the all list and it was like, oh, it's actually really powerful.
Yeah. And it's I think it's one of those special moments. I think we've talked about this as well on previous episodes. But, you know, there's these special moments in your app where the light bulb goes off in the user's mind, where like, oh, this is a really valuable app I could use.
Yeah.
And I think seeing that ginormous list of all the cool, interesting things you can connect to, that's a real light bulb moment.
Yeah.
You know? And so maybe even the gift thing maybe is a little bit simpler. I might even move that or think about moving it a lot closer to the beginning of the, you know, of that onboarding process, you know, to maybe make them scroll through it or just make them kind of somehow be forced to see that page might be really good.
Yeah. To see more different actions.
Yeah, and very, very interesting actions, like, you know, being able to access the camera or being able to pull text off a web page. And like, those are really powerful, interesting things.
Yeah, definitely. The onboarding experience is very limited. They didn't show you really anything other than just dragging things to the right, which is important, but it doesn't really, there's no context and you're not set up really to understand what the app does. So what about once you got past onboarding? What did you start doing?
So then it takes you into this My Workflows or the gallery. So I really think what it does is it defaults to My Workflows, which is kind of confusing because you've really only made one. And if you click Create Workflow, it sort of takes you in and it's very daunting.
Yeah.
And I really think it's important to show users completed ones. You know, I think the GIF example is a great example, but since they already have this other option, which is gallery, I would have led with that. Be able to go find, you know, because that's instant gratification, right?
Mm-hmm.
The user gets to come in here and be like, oh, wow, I do want to get the share, you know, Uber Home one. And then they can add it and let's say, and then one, use it right off the bat and get that instant gratification. But then also see, oh, wow, this is how it was constructed. And I might do a spin off of that. Instead of Uber, I might do Lyft or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then that's what really gets people's gears moving. When I, instead of putting them into a, you know, this My Workflows, which is like this huge blank canvas, very overwhelming. I'm not sure what I even want to use this app yet, let alone create something. Because creating is for users, as we all know, most users don't create, you know, most users consume, and creating is asking a lot from a user. You know, I know from back in the days I used to do game communities and stuff, whenever we would do contests where it involved creating something, you would get like, I don't know, like 1 in 100 people participating or something lower than that. So it's the same in apps. Like if your app requires people to create something, that's like effort, and it's better to lead with instant gratification.
Yeah. Especially in this case where it's kind of close to programming, which is very, very specialized. Because that was a lot of my struggle, was I wanted to be able to create cool recipes, but I didn't even know where to start really with programming them. So I spent a lot of time, like you, looking through the gallery and trying to just find stuff that's interesting and seeing if I could either copy stuff or if there were things that I could learn from how they set up their recipes. But I did find that the gallery itself was a little, I guess, a little limited or a little too, like it would be nice if there was maybe a user gallery, or I don't even know where these things come from.
I know. I think this is from them.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, like I was really excited to see what people are creating and what's popular. And I mean, that seems like a natural progression. Maybe that's something they're working on, but
yeah, it could be.
That would be a huge improvement, and I would definitely dump them there, or, you know, maybe this more premium selection first and then there.
Yeah.
Cause in the 2x2 episode, our first episode, we talked about, you know, getting users to create really good content.
Yeah.
When you're content-based, that's your number one user experience item, is to figure that out.
Yeah.
And I think here, like we said, it's a very powerful tool. So leading with that is probably the best.
Yeah. And plus, IFTTT has that. You know, it's part of how you use the app, is the recipe finding. It's full of user content, and it just makes it a much richer product.
Yeah, and you also instantly get that sense of community, and you also get the social proof.
Yeah.
So it's a nice combo. And social proof, just real quick, is when a user, it's like a psychological term, like a psychology term, where if somebody sees that a lot of people are doing something, they are more inclined to participate in it.
Yeah.
So this is a really good opportunity, you know, being able to see all these recipes to give it kind of some credibility.
So did you end up trying to make one from scratch, or?
I did, and I think that's what I want to talk about next. Is there's it's really interesting. One thing I really do, I think they did really well here, is if so you have a little 2x2 grid here, or like 2-column grid here,
yeah.
And there's a empty one always that says create workflow,
mm-hmm.
And if you click that, it quickly fills in with a new color, with a new name and everything, and then instantly opens it up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they did that really well, because spatially I understand what's going on. I created a new one, and then from that it kind of zooms in and instantly opens up the workspace for that new one I just created. So that, one, I understand what happened, and two, I don't have to do extra clicks to go in and edit. It's taking me right to what I want to do next.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where it kind of falls down on its face is, okay, it's taken me here, and I have no idea where to go. It says take a guided tour, which takes you back to the GIF thing you had already done, and then nothing else. So you're confused at where to go get the elements from, even though you kind of learned it in the GIF example. But what you have to do is click, you know, actions on the bottom or swipe left.
Yeah.
So I think maybe they should have taken you to actions, because that's really what you need to get to next.
Mm-hmm. Or, you know, like, this is where I think in the onboarding, it would have been better to use this kind of UI and this whole experience as the interface for the onboarding process. Because at least then they're actually showing you how the product works using the actual interface.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I've seen a lot of onboarding help type things, and this is definitely another example of it, where there's like this kind of bastardized version of the app that you're playing in. And while that sort of still helps, because it's more, you know, I don't know, like training wheels, then you get into the app and you're more confused.
Yeah.
So I think it's I haven't really seen it work very well.
Yeah. But this one they could, because it's all about creating stuff, and they're already showing you how to create stuff.
And one thing I've really observed recently is like users really want things to be very linear.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this one kind of is. So, like, why not start them at actions and, you know,
yeah,
and let them kind of progress down from there.
Yeah. In the all list.
Yeah, in the all list. Yeah. But one really, really cool thing user experience-wise on this is the fact that they let you save the app to your home screen. So you can literally create a mini app,
yep,
and be able to save it to your home screen, which you can instantly launch. And I think that was a great idea, because then it takes the app outside of the app and it becomes, you know, that much more useful. Because, and actually that's actually a very interesting item, is there's a time cost to opening your app.
Yeah.
If your app requires like this instant gratification, like not instant gratification, but instant use, like the checklist thing, like, oh, I have something right now that I need to do. Mm-hmm. And I need to go find the app, launch it, wait, type it in. I mean, like, the idea or the moment's already gone, you know? And next time I just won't even bother. I'll just pick up a pen and pencil and write it.
Yeah.
So always keep that in mind, that there's this time cost of even just opening your app.
Yeah. Well, the other nice thing about the about this idea of putting apps on your home screen, or, well, these little mini apps, is with IFTTT, some of the recipes you create actually require you to be in the IFTTT app in order for it to work. And I've actually created recipes like that where it doesn't run unless I open the app. Whereas here, I can create a little, basically a mini app, add it to my home screen, and I can run it whenever I need it. And I don't need to actually open workflow in order for it to work.
Yeah, and navigate to the one, and yeah. And so that removes a lot of that time. And that cost to the action, and it makes it so much more useful.
Yeah.
One thing I was reading recently was, I think it was a piece from Google, where the initial load time is so much more important than any subsequent load times.
Yeah.
So they found, and I forget the exact numbers, but they found that, you know, if the, you know, the first page load doesn't happen within a few seconds, let's say 3 seconds, the users will bounce. But if it loads really quickly and they tend to stick around longer, even if the subsequent pages take a little bit longer to load. Like, let's say the first one loads in like a second, and they kind of understand what that thing is, and they go to the second page, and let's say it takes 6 seconds, they're a lot more likely to stick around and wait for those 6 seconds.
Hmm.
And that goes back to just all the users need is just a reason. You know, they're just searching for a reason, a value prop, a value of the service that you're providing. Like, they just need that little nugget. And once you can give that to them, it really fuels a lot through bad user experience.
Yeah. And so how was it actually creating an app? Because for me, I really enjoyed the whole idea of dragging around these little like building blocks into the recipe and then just sort of customizing or tweaking them there. And then there's a lot of little tools and stuff for you to basically run it to test the recipe that you built and basically debug it. I mean, you're basically programming in this little app here, but you're not actually writing code. You're just dragging these little, you're just dragging these building blocks around to create interactivity.
Yeah. And I think the interface and the way you interact with it is very good. It makes for a really good user experience. I think they did a really good job, and it is a complicated thing, and they've made it very simple. So it's card-based UI. And as you drag them over, they kind of expand and become, you know, full-size cards with certain attributes to them. Mm-hmm. And then also when they pass off information to the next one, I think you'll see like a line. And so if you don't see that line, that you know that it's a separate action and it's not going to pass off anything. So, for example, I have take a photo, make a GIF. And if I switch those around, there's no line anymore. And so that's like a subtle, you know, just one line, but it conveys so much information to me as a user to know that, okay, now that kind of pass off has been broken. I can't go back the other way.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about some aesthetics. How did you think it looks? Do you think it's, I don't know. What about the choices they make for just how the app looks?
I think we were talking about this before, but it really, for some reason, and maybe it's the blue color with the same or similar typeface, but it really feels a lot like Designer News.
Yeah.
Like the color selection and the text. I like it though. That's not a bad thing. I like the text choice, the typeface choice, and it's just, everything seems very clear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's basically a programming app, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I wouldn't say it's like the most beautifully designed app that I've seen, but there's nothing about it that looks bad.
No, and I think that's a good thing is, I think layout spacing is one of the most important things, you know. Typography, yes, but I think a huge part of most typefaces these days, you know, it's hard to mess them up. Like the kerning, they have smart typefaces. They'll take care of most of the kerning, things like that. So I'd say that one of the biggest things people get wrong that makes a really big difference is getting your layout right, getting your spacing right, making sure things have enough room to breathe within their space. Things like that make a huge, huge difference. And I think they really nail it. They rely on some UI patterns for a lot of things. So you never really feel lost. You're familiar with all of these elements mm-hmm. from just iOS.
Yeah. Yeah, it does a good job of making use of the iOS standards.
Yeah, I feel like these people have really taken in the human interface guidelines from Apple.
Yeah. Well, so what about things that you'd want to fix, or what should be fixed or improved? I have a couple of things.
Yeah, I mean, why don't you start? I kind of feel like I still don't really understand, like, just how deep this app goes.
Yeah.
When connecting things, but it seems a little bit overwhelming, and I think if they could somehow make it a little bit more digestible, understandable, that's good. I mean, that timeline thing is brilliant and very good. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure what more to it than that. Maybe it's just the kind of the onboarding stuff we talked about, but mm-hmm. they do a good job. What did you have?
Well, my first one was actually that point is the recipe creation part. There's two things that I think people will have a hard time with in general. I mean, unless you're a programmer, but there's just sort of like the problem of conceiving of a recipe. What do you actually want to have this thing automate for you? And that's really hard to come up with. And I think they do a good job in terms of making it easy to program the stuff, but what do you actually want to program? I mean, it could be anything. And so there are probably some ways that they could, I don't know if it's in the onboarding or if there are some other like videos or tutorials, or maybe it's just more examples in the gallery to help people understand kind of the scope of what you could do with it.
That's a good point. I also wonder if something like a wizard type thing, but more of just a discovery, and maybe this could even be incorporated into the onboarding process. But something like asking them what they're like, what kind of problem do they have? Like, what are you interested in? Do you drive a lot? Do you blank a lot? Do you listen to music? And maybe you could kind of click on one and explore some of the ideas they have out there, and then they'll maybe give you a couple steps on how to build one. So I might say, oh yeah, I do go running a lot. And so I'll click on that, and they'll show me a couple ideas of ones to build, and then show me how to build them. And yeah, I think that's something that's like a hard part and would go really far in helping the user build really good content, is kind of just stirring up that creation, that, putting in some catalyst information to get them going.
The other one that I had is, well, because now you're into this app that's about programming these little mini apps, they should have stuff in here to help teach some basic programming concepts. Because I know that if my mom were to sit down with this app, she would have no idea what an if statement is, right? Or why you would use it, or what does it actually mean. And there's very little in the product that actually teaches you those kinds of concepts. And this is something they could probably use the same onboarding concept where they're asking you to create something using one of those little programming blocks. They could do something really nice with that. Basically have this be a starter for, like, here's how you program something. And who knows, like, maybe down the road they become interested in coding up actual apps or something.
Yeah, I almost wonder though, and I'm just going to throw this out there, if that's even the right approach. Like, I wonder if you really should make this app feel more about consuming, and put all this powerful information as like a secondary value prop to the app. I don't know.
Well, I think that works too, but I think, like, when you look at the all list of actions, they have things in there like add to variable, and that's the actual name of the little component. But if you don't know what a variable is, or what it means in programming terms, how would you know what to do with it?
Yeah, that's true.
And so there's probably ways that you could educate people on what some of these things do. Like, it doesn't have to be like a O'Reilly book or anything, but maybe there's just some simple little, like, show me how this works, or something like that, where people can just get a little bit more information.
Yeah.
I
No, I
don't
mean, I think
know.
that's really good. And that's so true. I find myself doing that all the time too, because I design for healthcare right now, and there's so many times that you get so used to lingo and different things like that, where you just throw it into the app and you forget that not everybody knows what all this lingo
Right.
means.
Right. I mean, how many times have you, like, spent, like, hours and hours on, like, Stack Overflow or something trying to, learn some programming or something, right?
So as far as the like animations go, there's a lot of really cool ones that I found in here. So one of my favorites so far has been, well, besides the adding one, which I mentioned earlier, the kind of the grow, is the delete. And so if you like, it's a lot like the homepage. If you hold down,
Oh yeah.
they start shaking.
Yeah.
But one really cool thing is there's a kind of like a dark color of the square's color that kind of comes down from the corner, and
Yeah.
then the X appears. So it's like a really subtle animation that they do, and it kind of grows and comes out, and it looks really nice. And they start shaking, and you can kind of move them around, clicking X. They fade out and move away, and everything shuffles. It's very slick. It's very nice.
Yeah, on the regular iOS, the little X bubble kind of pops out, but I kind of like what they did more.
Yeah. I mean, and there's a lot of these really subtle ones. Like if you're in the gallery and you click on, one of the featured ones, let's say cross post, the glyph, I think as they call it, spins, and then you get like it spins out, and as it's flipping, the card that it's going to show kind of comes off on the other side. Like it's very quick, and you don't really it sort of turns into it, even though, like, I don't know if I slowed this down, what it would even look like, but it happens really quickly.
Yeah, it happens in reverse too when you.
Well, yeah, when you kind of tap out. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
All right, so did this match your overall expectations? And what did you think, how would you declare it, good or bad overall?
Well, as far as my expectations go, it's a little unfair because I just kind of went through it right away, with my coworker. So I thought it was cool, though. I mean, my general comparison to this is IFTTT, and I think this is actually a much more powerful product. Not that I don't like IFTTT, but it's just I feel like there's more you can do with it in terms of making like little mini apps and things like that are more useful in terms of little pieces of functionality that you can add to your phone. And so for me, I'll probably keep it, but I definitely need to spend more time learning about how to code things up in the right way.
Yeah, same. I definitely coming into this, IFT was the comparison. I think now afterward, I really feel like it's one of those like, whoa, like this can be much bigger than it is. Like IFT and Zapier, I think would be another one that was kind of came in with, which Zapier is more towards like business tools. And so this kind of feels like Zapier a little bit too, but yeah, I mean, just being able to pair more than two things together and do things with the information before it goes to the next thing, it makes a really, really big difference. And I wish those other apps did something like this. So I really think this is big. I'm going to keep it. I'm going to keep playing with it. And I really hope and look forward to seeing some more user-created content, not just these ones they've pre-created.
Yeah. Hopefully they listen to this show.
We would really love that. And I think overall they've done a really good, like once you get into the app, I think the onboarding experience is the biggest place for growth. But overall, I mean, they took something that's very complex and they've really condensed it down. And that's really the beauty of user experience when you can do it right, is something like this where something very complex becomes very simple. And I think they can even take it probably a step further. But this is been a really good product so far.
Yeah, they're off to a good start.
Yeah, they're off to a really good start, I think.
Cool.
Yeah, so keep for me, keep for you. Hopefully you guys can go check it out. We'll include a link on the post. It is a few dollars, but it's definitely worth, it's like not even as much as a Starbucks drink, so it's worth it because you can make GIFs of yourself and create things to automatically get an Uber order for yourself. So there's a lot of really cool stuff. It's worth more than one app purchase. So I definitely recommend taking a look at it.
Yeah, me too.
All right, thanks for sticking around, everybody. Again, we would love for you guys to give us some feedback on the structure of the show, the content of the show. So now that you have some free time, you're no longer listening to our podcast. I highly suggest you guys take a moment and tweet at us, hit us up on the contact form, and let us know what you think about the show.
And don't forget, we're now on iTunes, so please go in there, review, and rate our shows, and listen to all of them, please.
Yeah, that makes a big difference too. The reviews do. That helps Apple think we're really cool. So, and more designers to see the show.
Yeah.
All right.
Cool.
Thanks, everybody.
All right, thanks. See you next week.
See you next week. Bye.
Bye.